Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Happy Thirsty Thursday, everybody, here on the DA Show. Coming up this hour, LaVar Ball's decision to push LaMelo Ball into the pros. Did that already ruin LaMelo Ball's collegiate career? Plus, the Battle of the Bulge, Mraz versus Huge Freeze, coming up here on the show later on in the hour. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our next guest is a 10-time Pro Bowler. He was a member of the 1990s All-Decade Team. His number 20 is retired by the Detroit Lions. Also, 30 years ago, had perhaps the greatest collegiate football season in NCAA history. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer and a living legend, and it's a total thrill to have here on the show the great Barry Sanders joining us this morning on the program. Barry, good morning.
Hey there. Good morning. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. How are you?
My pleasure. It's a real thrill to have you here on the show. Thanks so much for finding time for us. And let's go back 30 years now to 1988, because that season for Oklahoma State was just legendary. 25-80 in terms of yards of the ground, 44 touchdowns, 34 NCAA records. Going into that season with the Cowboys, did you feel like you were on the verge of dominating every game?
No, you know what? I was just a young kid trying to find my way, trying to find my footing after backing up the great Thurman Thomas for 2 years. The previous year I had made an All-American at kick returner, and I was just excited about the prospect of starting and having a chance to start and play big-time college football in that setting. And, I have to thank the guys I played with, and Pat Jones was the architect of that team, and I played with 5 fifth-year senior offensive linemen and a fifth-year senior fullback, things just kept rolling. You know what? From the first kickoff of that season that I returned for a touchdown, it just kept getting better from there for me. It's just an amazing run.
Did you see that Oklahoma State wore your throwbacks, the 1988 throwback uniforms, a couple of weeks ago? Did you see how cool that looked?
Oh, it was amazing, man! I was actually there for the game. I had a chance to see it in person. They played Texas and won that one. It was a real treat for me and for some of my teammates to come back and watch that game and just experience that atmosphere. Just the fact that Nike made the jerseys and made the throwback shoes as well for that game was even more of a special treat for us.
Barry Sanders is our guest this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. I saw a clip on YouTube where you were asked who your favorite team was growing up, but there was no answer to it. And you grew up in Wichita, so I'm wondering, was it the Chiefs? Was it somebody else? Maybe it was Walter Payton and the Chicago Bears. Who was your favorite team growing up?
Did you say there was no answer to it?
Yeah, there wasn't an answer. It was just the question and then no answer.
That would seem impossible to me, because I've always let it known my favorite team was headed by the great John Madden, the Oakland Raiders. No question about it. Al Davis, John Madden, Kenny Stabler, Marcus Allen, Otis Sistrunk, Dave Casper. I mean, come on, man. The Raiders, old Raiders. That was my team. Kidding me?
And there were so many characters on that team. You just rattled off a bunch of them. Ted Hendricks in there as well. I mean, those Absolutely. Were just some incredible characters. What drew you to the Raiders back then?
I think they were always on television. Like you said, I grew up in Kansas, and they were always beating up on the Chiefs. You know, and so I always saw the Chiefs Raiders game.
Yeah.
But even aside from that, they seemed like they were always on TV, and just great personalities. You know, and they were winning a lot of Super Bowls back then.
Yeah, no kidding. When you were debating whether or not you wanted to come back to football and come back to the Lions, was there ever a part of you that wanted to go finish off your career with the Raiders?
No, you know, I was pretty much done. Honestly, and so, I mean, I didn't have any real thoughts as far as that, but I've always been, you know, I was always, you know, I'm definitely a Raiders fan growing up, and I love playing against them as a pro just because, for that very reason, you know, because of the rowdy fans that they had. But no, it was never really a time where I was strongly considering coming back.
You're an ambassador now for the Lions, and I think it's been great for so much of the Lions family and the fans to see you embraced again within that franchise and you meeting with fans and people around the Lions. Did you always want to play for one team? Was that something you went into your career wanting to be kind of identified with one franchise?
Well, honestly, I would have to say that's not something I ever really thought about much. You know, you know, for me, I felt like I was lucky just to get out of high school with a good scholarship to play football. And so when I got the scholarship to play ball in college, you know, I never thought that much about the likelihood that I'd be able to play in the pros. For me, it was just really about, you know, trying to excel where I was. But, you know, honestly, that's a different day and time. We didn't have the 24-hour sports networks and things like that. And so that's probably one of the reasons why I never really thought about the pros in that way. And then when I got to Detroit, I was excited to be here because it was the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, and being a lifelong fan of the NFL. And so, but you know, as you play, you go year to year, you realize that it's not likely that you're going to necessarily end up with the same team. You know, things happen, players move, coaches move, you know, even, you know, management sometimes, you know, switch here and there. And so I knew that, you know, so for me to have all my years here in Detroit, my 10 years here in Detroit as a Lions, it just kind of worked out that way. I still live here. And it just, you know, I'm just one of the fortunate ones to be able to have that happen in that way for me.
There are so many running backs now that identify you as their favorite player growing up and that they tried to model their game after you. I don't know if that's possible because you were so instinctual, you were so unique, you were so creative. I think about your style and it's so unique to everything else in NFL history. Did you have anybody growing up, you said, I want to be like that, because your style wasn't necessarily reflective of anybody else that had come before you or has come since?
You know, honestly, D.A., I feel like I borrowed a lot of stuff from different guys.
Yeah.
I feel like I did. I mean, one of the first guys that I remember really watching was a guy named Terry Metcalf, a little squirrely running back for the St. Louis Rams back in the early 70s. And then, you know, probably my all-time favorite would be Tony Dorsett.
Mm.
You know, his years at Pittsburgh, at the University of Pittsburgh, the late 70s, I remember that as a kid. I remember going out trying to emulate what he did. A year or two after that, I remember, you know, Marcus Allen, and, you know, even intermingled in there. I remember watching, you know, Charles White before Marcus Allen. You know, so it's a long list of running backs that I feel like I tried to emulate and that sort of thing. And so, you know, I'm glad that the young guys think that I originated some of this stuff, but honestly, I feel like I borrowed a lot of stuff from some of those guys I just mentioned.
That is a great list. Marcus Allen, Terry Metcalf, Charles White, Tony Dorsett. That is an awesome, awesome list. You are working with Hall of Fame experiences, and this is really cool because if listeners and fans have the Super Bowl on their bucket list, how about visiting the Super Bowl with a bunch of Hall of Famers, yourself, Willie Rofe, Orlando Pace, Floyd Little? This is really, really cool. How can our listeners get more information on this?
Well, you can get more information by going to HallOfFameExperience.com. Like you just mentioned, you're going to have a chance to get Super Bowl tickets. There's a hospitality access, hospitality suite with Gold Jacket Club that I'm hosting. There's a meet and greet with the players. There's an autograph show. So all around great experience for some football fan who may have a chance to win this. Again, you can go to HallOfFameExperience.com and find out more about it.
You were a guy that handed the football to the ref of the end zone every single touchdown. I got to imagine you look at these choreographed dances right now and go, I just couldn't do that.
That's the one thing I couldn't do out there.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch, but yeah, no, that wasn't a part of my game.
Google Hall of Fame Experiences or go to HOFExperiences.com. That's HOFExperiences.com and be part of this Gold Jacket Club to go to the Super Bowl exclusive autograph sessions. And there is a meet and greet and hosted by Barry Sanders. That's HOFExperiences.com. Barry, a total thrill to have you here on the show. Not to geek out too much, but you're one of my favorite players ever. So thanks so much for carving out time for us today.
Hey, D.A., no, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
You got it. Barry Sanders joining us this morning here on the show. You know, I'm 10 years old when Barry Sanders gets drafted by the Detroit Lions, and my eyes are wide as saucers watching number 20 in that beautiful Honolulu blue and silver dashing around Pontiac, dashing around, you know, the old Silver Dome. And I'm just mesmerized. And this was before Sunday Ticket and before the internet. And so in 1989 to 1990, 1991, 92, before the internet, I am dying for Barry Sanders highlights. And I'm trying to digest any and all that I can find by NFL Films, also NFL Primetime, Chris Berman, SportsCenter, wherever I can get those highlights. Wherever I can watch some Barry Sanders, I'm doing it. And the Lions were good. They would go to the playoffs, so I would be parked in front of the TV just devouring Lions playoff games, but they never won anything. So it was almost always one and done for Detroit in the postseason. But those, if you didn't grow up in Detroit, you rarely got to see too much Barry Sanders. Sometimes it'd be Monday Night Football. Sometimes a Sunday Night Football. At least there was Thanksgiving. But I wasn't allowed to stay up for all of Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. And so Thanksgiving and the random Lions game on TV was what I always set my clock to. And I just loved watching him. And for obvious reasons, nobody's ever looked like him on the field. It was jazz. It was improvisation. It was make it up as you go. There is no hole here. Spin move, scatter out, and try to break the hole there. You are going to be tackled. And somehow there's a juke and there's a move and he's out of it. There is the ability to just slither through the tiniest cracks and then take off and go down the field for 70 yards. There has never been a running back like Barry. The other greats, you know, Emmitt Smith was a workhorse. Emmitt Smith was never dynamic, but on 3rd and 3, he always got you 4 yards. Always. Walter Payton was just absolute hard-nosed smash you up. It was, I'm coming for you, I will hit you before you hit me. And it was churning legs and desire and effort and do everything. You need me to block, I'll block. You need me to throw, I'll throw. You need me to catch out of the backfield, I'll do it. Jim Brown was simply a physical specimen that was bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else on that field. He was a Superman. But Barry was diminutive. Barry was small. Barry was not supposed to be able to take on the monsters of the linebackers and defensive linemen. And yet, skit, scat, turn, spin, gone. There's never been a guy that had been bottled up by so many tacklers and then found a way out of it. It was a jailbreak every single time. Barry Sanders was a cat burglar. It just seemed like he got the jewel and you couldn't find him. You couldn't catch him. And it is such a shame that the Lions were never able to win for Barry and with Barry. It's such a shame they were never able to get to an NFC, to a Super Bowl. Such a shame they were never able to advance deep into the playoffs year after year. But for what we got on film and what we got as memories for 10 years, Barry Sanders is untouched. when we come back here on the show. We don't really talk about LaVar Ball much. He's kind of faded a bit into the background. But I think what we've seen already is LaVar may have sunk LaMelo's career. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio each and every morning starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific. And remember, you can take us with you wherever you go on your phone. I think this is the coolest thing about being a sports fan in 2018. Your favorite shows you can watch anytime. I was just talking about trying to dig through whatever highlights I could find on television to watch Barry Sanders back in the late 80s, early 90s before the internet. Now you can take this radio show with you wherever you go. Just listen to the CBS Sports app, radio.com app. People seem to love the radio.com app stream, saying that it's the best stream out there. If not, consult a physician. And also, listen to us on Apple Music or simply watch us on your phone at watchda.com. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. The Pittsburgh Steelers head south to battle the Jaguars. And later on, the Chargers host the Broncos in a classic AFC West showdown. Check your local listings for the game in your area and kick off the day with the NFL Today presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific only. Huh? CBS! What's your problem?
I have rolled my eyes and I've held my tongue too long on this. Enough with that stupid drop every time you read that read. I've had it.
What's wrong with it? It's a throwback Thursday. That's a throwback jam.
It first got to me when I wasn't here and doing a remote with my WFAN show, and I was listening to the show in the car, and I love this show. It's my passion. I love all the drops. Mm. That sounds so quirky and awful.
Well, we are quirky.
I know, and that's what bothers me. It's too... The drop stinks. And as producer, I think we should be waving it. Why can't we use Jacob Wilkins going on CBS? Why do we have to use CBS Sports Spectacular Yeah?
CBS Sports Spectacular Yeah!
Well, that's not... A, it's not funny. B, it doesn't sound good. C, it stinks. Yeah.
Well, it's a throwback. I mean, that's like how CBS sounded in 1971.
So just play it on Thursdays then. Why do we play it every single day?
Because we like throwback jams.
Yeah. It's a terrible throwback jam. There's some bad Madonna songs, too. Do we play all those? Or do we just go to, you know, Holiday?
We're not a music station.
Of all the things that you dislike about this show, it just happens to be the one retro jingle that brings back nostalgia for a lot of people from the early 70s that takes 1 second out of your day.
I know. And there's so many bad things I bring to this show, which makes this very ironic. And as I'm saying that, we're on a stream today, and this is on me as well. I can't take my eyes. Why is there a coffee cup right behind the stream back there?
It's a bad job by one of the hosts.
I am losing my mind now.
Yeah, what's going on today? You're like on edge today.
I am.
Is it because you got into a fight with your sister?
We're bringing that up on the air?
I won't talk about what it was, but you said that last night you got into it with your sister. Is that what's going on? Because today
yes,
you just aggravated.
I had a tiff with my sister last night, and I regret some of the things I said. And I tried apologizing and was rebuffed on my apology, and now it's making me more angry. So I came in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I got the Peter Schwartz thing with his kid that we did hammered home the last 2 days. I got him all upset on Twitter. And you know me. I like stirring the pot and poking the bear, and I can take it back, but I don't like conflict. It's not in my blood.
Now, wait a second. So Schwartz is tweeting at you today?
No, but that's still on my mind. He tweeted some things in the back and forth that are making me feel guilty that we are picking on his child on the air. And then on top of that, I fight with my sister, and it just, this isn't me.
Yeah, but wait a second. We're not picking on his child on the air. For some reset here and some context, Mraz got a call from his aunt the day after Halloween saying, "Do you know a Peter Schwartz?"
"Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz."
And Mraz said, "Of course, he used to do headlines, used to do updates on our show." And she said, "Oh, because his son trick-or-treated at our house." We were not looking for this story. Mraz's aunt calls him out of the blue the day after Halloween and proceeds to tell Mraz, Schwartz's oldest son, who's 13, came trick-or-treating. It's also a little too old to be trick-or-treating at 13, but okay. And taunted her for her Halloween decorations. And so The only reason we brought it up was because here is an unbiased observer. She doesn't know us from a hole in the wall, and she doesn't know Peter Schwartz from a hole in the wall, and doesn't know his kid from a hole in the wall, and comes to Mraz and says, yeah, this kid was a little hellion. This kid was taunting me. This kid was a brat. And so all I did was we discussed the story on the air and happened to play, Pete the Body Bilotti happened to play the drops when Schwartz on a PGP with us said that his kids are always polite and always respectful.
He does everything by the rules. He's polite, very, very respectful.
Now, had Schwartz never said that, we would have no reason to believe that he didn't know that his son could be disrespectful. But Schwartz said he always does the right thing. And here's an unbiased observer who does not know Schwartz and his kid telling you out of the blue, hey, Schwartz's kid, this rando kid, was not respectful. He was anything but.
Very, very respectful.
So we're not picking on anybody here. I'm just pointing out the irony that supposedly a kid who is always respectful happened to one time be completely disrespectful, and Schwartz can't handle the truth.
Get him out.
I agree with that. And I think what we're also learning here is a little bit more about me, that deep down I am soft, I am a wuss, and that as much as I talk a tough game and like poking the bear and like bringing up things, the moment, you know, it gets hot in the kitchen, I'm the first one out, and I can't handle it.
And here's the thing. I consider you one of my closest friends. I feel like I'm very fortunate that we've been able to work together for 6 years and will continue. I was at your wedding. You were at my wedding. But
one of them.
What do you mean?
Oh, just another joke about your multiple weddings.
Oh, one of my weddings, yes. But honestly, you're just not a foxhole guy, and we know this.
Well, I don't know about
and,
a foxhole.
And Kenny always said this. Kenny Brock said this from day one, not a foxhole guy.
A timeout now. I'm jumping on a grenade right now. If somebody planted a grenade for whatever reason, I'm jumping on. You're not, take me, don't take DA.
Well, but you just said.
That's literally the definition of a foxhole guy.
But let's face it, you would not do that. You
throw Bilotti on top of it.
Yes, you would.
You do not like conflict, and you said you run and you hide. And so, you know, when there's tough times, foxhole guys stand and fight. You know, you're a great guy, but you don't like conflict, so you can't be a good foxhole guy.
Right. But it's weird because I enjoy starting conflict, and
yes,
I like fun conflict back, like stuff with Robbie, whatever. But there are certain moments in conflict. Maybe that's it. There's certain parts of conflict where, you know what it is? Because I am always the one that can admit when I'm wrong. And nobody else ever can. Sure, I did. I brought up that I admitted where I was wrong with my sister. I brought up where maybe I felt like I was wrong with Schwartz, or maybe that wasn't my business. But the bottom line is this, nobody else can admit when they're wrong, and I can't take that. I'm always the one admitting when I'm wrong. I embrace not having morals, and I don't care.
You do like to shirk responsibility. You do like to push blame. You do like to run when the kitchen is hot. You're not a conflict guy. You're just not a foxhole guy, but that's okay. Not everybody's a foxhole guy. You're a great guy. You're a great friend, but you're not a foxhole guy.
I mean, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Okay, Bogish, would you consider Mraz a foxhole guy?
No, I mean, just yesterday, he was giddy that a listener went back and found audio to try and tear, or 2 days ago, to tear you down about Robbie singing. You're his guy.
Yeah.
You made him. He should be poo-pooing anyone trying to tear you down. Meanwhile, he's championing the cause.
Turned on me real quick.
Couldn't wait.
First of all, easy with the he made me. He definitely helped me. Make me is a strong word. I made myself.
When you started here, you were wearing white undershirts in the newsroom, changing from shorts to pants. At least you come correctly dressed to work now.
DA has absolutely molded me. Easy was saying he's made me.
Okay, you want to go down the difference between mold and made?
Yeah, all I'm saying is just pump the brakes. We don't need his head exploding anymore.
Okay, Bilotti, is Mraz a foxhole guy?
No way in hell. He'll hit me with a shovel once we get to the island.
I mean, he's just not. You're the opposite of a foxhole guy.
Monday, Joe D'Aloisio. Was I not a foxhole guy for him? I sacrificed the first quarter of a Giant game to get there and speak to students that needed my intel. That's a foxhole guy.
Come on. Because you missed a last place, the first quarter of a last place Giants game.
But I didn't have to do that. I drove out of my way to go speak to students because I look out for those kids. I look out for Joe. Can't take this.
And what'd you do? You made him buy a pizza for the foxhole.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta eat
cheese.
That whole.
All right. So I want to get to this LeVar Ball, LaMelo Ball story, but we had to go meandering down the road of Perez's personality traits here.
Fortitude.
So I promise I will get to that story coming up here. But next up is the Battle of the Bulge as Perez and Huge Freeze tackle one another. Huge in studio. He's got his college football picks, and he's 2.5 games behind Perez. We're into week 11 of the NFL season already. That means there's only 6 more weeks for Robbie to make up 2.5 games. This is, as Yogi Berra might say, it's getting late early out there for Robbie. And
what?
If he loses this, yes, if he loses this, that means he is done on the show forever.
Get him out.
Forever. Battle of the Bulge next, DA, CBS Sports Radio. What will Robbie sing?
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Either accept who I am or don't. This is a disgrace that I've been cornered this way. I've had it. You know what? Tomorrow I'm getting bagels. I'm going to eat all 6. None of you guys get one. My fingers are no good for anybody. You're out. Get you all out. It's just enough. Pick a lane.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Perez is particularly prickly today here on the DA show. He's in a fight with his sister, and so he's taking it out on all of us. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, we're available across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, but also on SiriusXM Channel 206. So check us out there. Our show and the rest of CBS Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 206. And the team of the week brought to you by Ferguson. This week's team, the Michigan Wolverines. How about last night? The 18th-ranked team in America gets a mash job over Villanova. Stunning number 8 Wildcats, 73-46. Villanova capturing its second title in 3 years last year over Michigan in April, but Michigan jumping out to a 10-2 lead last night, never let up, and taking out their frustrations perhaps from the championship game against Villanova. Brought to you by Ferguson. Hey, trade pros. Ferguson proud to be part of what you do with over 1,000 one-stop shop counter locations, expert associates, and an unmatched selection of OEM repair parts. Learn more at Ferguson.com. We'll have Bart Scott joining us coming up here on the show at the top of the hour. Bart Scott in studio, top of the third hour of the show, so that should be really awesome. As always, Bart brings the heat, brings the noise, brings the fun. Our toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. GEICO.com. This story about LaMelo Ball I find really interesting. I don't know if you saw this, but LaMelo Ball is now on a private high school football team, basketball team called Spire. This is the youngest of the Ball kids. Of course, we know LaVar Ball, the dad. We have a Ball on the Lakers. Okay, then we have a Ball, the middle child, who is playing for some minor league basketball team where the big ballers actually sponsor the team. And then the youngest is LaMelo. Now, LaMelo was supposed to be as good as Lonzo or better. But LaMelo, remember, LaVar had yanked out of, his youngest had yanked out of high school and sent to Lithuania to play. And now LaMelo, playing on this high school team, this private team called Spire, private school, has had multiple teams, opponents, back out of the game. St. Benedict's Prep from New Jersey, one of the nation's powerhouses, said, we're not playing you guys anymore. Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, again, one of the nation's powerhouses, says, we're not playing you anymore. Multiple teams are saying we're not playing, and it's because they're worried that LaMelo Ball is ineligible, so that they would be playing against somebody who's ineligible. They don't want to risk that because LaMelo has a sneaker, which is branded after him, which would probably make him no longer an amateur, but also went across seas and played for a professional basketball team. Now, LaVar is probably arguing, hey, LaMelo didn't see any of the money. The salary came to me. But if LaMelo took anything, travel, food, sneakers, apparel, or salary, he is ineligible. And this is interesting because he wants to play at an elite college basketball program next year. But if he's ineligible this year, and schools are worried about playing him this year, his senior year in high school, What about next year? Is he really going to play college basketball? I would say no. That the odds are LaMelo Ball can't even play the 1 year of college basketball, which means perhaps he would go that G League route and do 1 year at $125,000. But is LaMelo going to be considered one of the best players in America if he's kind of deemed ineligible this year, might not be able to play in some games or many games? Will he get that from the G League? I'm saying this right now. We focused on LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball so much. I think what happened with his youngest, LaMelo, who had as much potential perhaps as Lonzo and was supposed to follow Lonzo to UCLA, might have been completely screwed. It's possible. LaMelo Ball right now already has had his pro career screwed over by his ridiculous dad. And all of those times that people said, well, LaVar might be obnoxious and he might be opinionated and he might be loud, but he's a great dad. Is he? I wonder, because if LaMelo Ball gets screwed out of his pro career or being able to spend a year on campus at a college that he wanted to, if these big dreams of college basketball and pro basketball are now poof into the night because LaVar had to pull him out of high school and send him to Lithuania for his reality show, just how good a dad was LaVar? Now, that was a common refrain. Well, he might be loud, he might be annoying, but he's a great dad. Well, what happens if he screwed his youngest son out of what his path would have been because he wanted a better story for his reality show and a better, bigger brand, I suppose, for his sneaker company? It's time for the Battle of the Bulge.
A pair of big boys battling over bowls and bites.
He's a joke. He's a clown. I am so much smarter than this buffoon in football picking.
It's the House versus Mraz.
He sounds like, you know, the pig from the Garfield cartoon.
He's a pig! Matter of fact, he looks like he ate four pigs.
Huge Freeze has his career on the line.
He's a fat pig! Enough!
He's a joke. He's a clown. And you are correct.
It's the Battle of the Bulge, only on the DA Show.
Wait till you see where I am next Thursday when I make the picks, okay?
Will you even show up, Robbie? Because all you are is late to everything.
Robbie joins us in studio, so watch the simulcast at watchda.com. Huge, good morning.
Good morning, DA, Mraz, Pete the Body. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Unfortunately, you in the standings, not so much.
Nope.
Mraz had a 3-0 weekend last weekend. You at 1-2, which means you have now slid 2.5 games behind Mraz in the standings. As we said, as Yogi Berra would say, it's getting late early out there. So you've only got 7 more weeks of picks to go. And once college football's regular season is over, you've got to go into bowl games,
right,
which are a real crapshoot because you never know who's motivated. Long time off, odd matchups. How do you feel?
Very tricky spot, but this is the week when I have to get back on track because all the progress I've made over the last couple of weeks, I've given back. So I'm 2.5 games behind. Mraz is not going to go 3-0 the rest of the year, let alone this week. So time to get back a game or two and slowly climb my way back up the standings.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks are huge for you because as Huge Freeze, you've got the final 2 regular season weeks left in college football. You've got to make up some ground here before you get to the crapshoot known as the bowl game.
Right, and I think there's a week in between there where I think I'm going to be on hiatus and then have to, I think, pick 6 games. I think there's a bye week in there for finals week and things like that. So, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And by the way, for those out there, a public service announcement, okay? I am not here to take Mraz's job, only his soul.
Let's start with the game day game, UCF and Cincinnati. In the American, where are you leaning?
Game day is going to be there this week. This is a UCF team that's obviously motivated, number 11 in the rankings. They'll move up with a blowout win over a one-loss Bearcat team. I like UCF minus the points.
Okay. UCF minus the points. This is the game day game. Once again, UCF, do we have a line of this yet?
I believe
it was... Let me check on this.
Okay, I know what it was earlier in the week.
We'll find the exact line for you.
I mean,
right,
he's
now
making picks he doesn't even know the lines for?
Can you,
this is out of control.
Can you please find us the
so
line?
So I got to do Robbie's work that he should have come in with a number. Just
relax.
Goes, I'll take
it was
UCF
seven. It was 7.5, okay? Relax.
All right.
Okay, 7.5.
Seven and a half.
He's
okay.
Got UCF laying 7.5.
Go double check that, teacher, okay?
Okay, let's move on to the Pac-12, the battle for Los Angeles, USC and UCLA. Chip Kelly's crew has been a disaster all season long. We know USC has not been good either, but USC at least has been better. In this game, where are you leaning?
They've been better, but the last couple of weeks, they've had a couple of really bad losses. One to Cal when they should have been up 20-plus at the half, ended up only being up 10-0 at the half, ended up losing the game outright. I'm going with USC this week. I think they're motivated in a rivalry game. Clay Helton's job may be on the line at Southern California. I like USC -3.5 against UCLA.
This one's on the road at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California for USC, but Robbie is taking the Trojans laying 3.5. And for the third game of the weekend, the biggie, Northwestern, Minnesota. Northwestern has clinched a spot in the Big Ten title game. You love your Golden Gophers.
I have to.
Where are you going here?
Have to on Senior Day. PJ Fleck, first bowl game berth with this win. They're +2.5. So that's a sucker bet line. Northwestern's clearly the better team. But where's the motivation? They just had a huge win last week. They're into the Big Ten title game. Minnesota, this is their first bowl game in a couple of years. They've been a disaster with Jerry Kill and Tracy Clays, who's now the coordinator up at Washington State, is a top 10 team. But he left. Jerry Kill left. Fleck is in. I think this is a springboard to a big season next season with a new quarterback. I think they're going to make a bowl game and win the game outright. So for the first time this season, I'm taking the Gophers +2.5 against the Wildcats.
Okay, so that's an early line. You must have found it at a good number because it's already money's moved in on Minnesota because exactly for the reason that you're talking about right now.
Okay, well, we'll go with whatever line you have today. So.
Well, right now it's Minnesota laying a point, so basically a pick'em.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so we'll go with pick'em. That's fine. Well, they're going to win the game. It doesn't matter. I don't need any points, okay? The only point I want to make is I'm going to go 3-0.
Okay, that's the point to be made. Robbie has made his picks. UCF laying 7.5, USC laying 3.5, and the Gophers over Northwestern. Well, I don't know why you're such a polarizing figure here. Some of the listeners love you. Some of the listeners really dislike you. And I suppose that comes with the territory. I keep defending you as a true radio talent, but some people really, they're really bothered by you. Any idea why?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I rub some people the wrong way, but I know I do have some fans out there. I think, you know, we're going through some growing pains. So, you know, as we move along here, hopefully a lot more people will come on board.
Well, speaking of growing pains, do you happen to have perhaps a 1980s theme song? Because I really feel like the turning point in your popularity here on the show was when you sang the Perfect Strangers theme song a couple of weeks ago.
I can do the Growing Pains theme song for you. Show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. Whether we're near the end. The best is ready to begin. Ooh, as long as we got each other, we got the world spinning right in our hands, baby. You and me, we gotta be the luckiest dreamers who never quit dreaming. As long as we keep on giving,
ba-ba-ba,
we can take anything that comes our way, baby, rain or shine, all the time. We got each other sharing the laughter and love.
I love Robbie.
That really was gorgeous.
There you go.
That felt good.
That was by the great B.J. Thomas, who also sang Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. If I don't get out of here in time, there will be raindrops falling on my head.
Now,
what?
When
there's a big rainstorm coming. Nor'easter. Have you turned on a TV lately?
When Mraz calls you out for not having formal training, he says everybody got voice coaching in high school in the 90s is what
Which
he
is
said.
Ridiculous. Absolutely not. And I heard about the Adele thing yesterday. Listen, I have a surprise witness that will come on soon, okay? Somebody who I went to high school with, maybe a teacher, maybe a student, who knows? But somebody's going to come on and make you, Mraz, look even more foolish than you do right now.
Which is hard.
Yes, very difficult.
But you had formal coaching.
Yes, absolutely. By a Juilliard-trained teacher in high school.
Juilliard-trained?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. That's as much baloney as what you said about the voice coaches in high school.
We had them on Long Island.
We both grew up on Long Island. No, absolutely not. We all had to take health and gym.
Remember when you
not
said
choir.
Remember when you could sing? Said you could sing everything on demand, but then hid when I asked you to sing Adele because you knew you'd be exposed.
Adele, that's like a female. Stop, please. That's for Vegas.
You're a
knockoff.
Tenor.
That's for Vegas knockoff. Listen, you want me to sing Josh Groban? You
for Vegas,
raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You want me to sing that? Not Adele. Josh Groban, not Adele.
You said that's for Vegas knockoffs. This whole thing started because you're a Vegas knockoff lounge karaoke singer.
I am the adult contemporary Huge Freeze. Stop.
All right, hugest picks are in. You really need a big weekend.
Huge.
You need a huge.
Yeah.
You need a huge.
Guy doesn't even know spreads.
Stop, please. The only spread you know is out in the kitchen over there. Please.
Richard Simmons over here.
All right, thank you, Robbie.
You got it, guys.
When we come back here on the show, we've got Bart Scott who will join us on the show. This has been a wild and woolly Thursday morning here aboard the mothership. You can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. I got a very emotional email from a longtime listener about Robbie that I may have to read in this third hour of the show because, I mean, people really feel very strongly one way or the other about Huge Freeze and the singing. Bart Scott next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.